Okay, so what we have to do this evening is talk about the sugya of Chizki and Rabbi Avohu. Effectively, the Mishnah tells us that Chametz on Pesach is Aser b'Hana'ah, but nowhere in Scripture does it say that you cannot get Hana'ah from Chametz on Pesach. So the question is, how do I know that you can't get Hana'ah from Chametz on Pesach? And there are two possibilities in the Gemara. What does Chizkiya say, and what does Rabbi Avohu say? Let's go, Chevra. I need people to call out. Or even raise your hand, something. What does Chizkiya say? Right. Chizkiya says that we learn from Lo Ye Achel, which means that you should not have any heter achila. Right? Lo Ye Achel means it should not be eaten. And when I say it should not be eaten, that means don't have any heter achila, which means hana'ah. And Rashi is bothered by the question, how does achila mean hana'ah? Right? Achila means eating. Hana'ah means benefiting. How does achila mean hana'ah? So what does Rashi say? Everything leads to eating. No? It's like mixed dancing. Right? Everything will get there. That's the basic idea that Rashi says. Now, it still is a little hard to understand. I gave you a Maharam Chalava who gives a slightly different explanation. Anyone notice what Maharam Chalava said?
Is that like that you're getting money in order to sustain yourself?
Correct. Right? In other words, Maharam Chalava basically explains this based on an idea called Mishtarashi, which means that I am getting a few extra dollars in the process. No? A penny saved is a penny earned. So the fact that I don't have to pay for the Hana'ah, it's a penny saved, that gives me extra money, and that extra money I'm going to use for Achila. Right? That's the way he says it. It ends up being the same as Rashi. The only difference is that Rashi does not fully elaborate on how we arrive at the money. Right? Rashi kind of is silent on that point, but okay, be it as it may, Maharam Chalava has his explanation. So far we have Chizkiya. Chizkiya says that the source is from Lo Ye Achel, the fact that the Torah says it in the Nif'al. Rabbi Avohu says, what's one and the same? Achila and Hana'ah, one and the same. So you just skip like 17 steps, right? Let's go slowly, right? That's going to be our question. Rabbi Avohu says, Sarah. What does Rabbi Avohu say? Achila is an example of Hana'ah, kind of. That's very similar to what Abigail said. Let's just.
Anytime he uses the phrase, will ya follow the flu, all of that includes.
Correct. Right? Rabbi Avohu says that when the Torah uses the word lo tochal, lo tochlu, stuff like that, it means achila and hana'ah, unless the Torah tells me that hana'ah is permitted. Right? In cases where the Torah says that hana'ah is permitted, then achila does not mean hana'ah, but as a baseline assumption, achila means hana'ah. What's the case that the Gemara outlines where the Torah says explicitly that hana'ah is permitted?
Nevela.
Nevela. Right? The Torah says you could take your nevela and lagera shebisha'arecha titnena va'achala o machar la'nachri. You could take your nevela and give it to a ger. What's a ger? Does a ger mean a convert to Judaism? No. A ger means a ger toshav. Right? And what is a ger toshav? So that's the standard translation. Someone who takes on the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach is a ger toshav. Right? And ordinarily it's understood, Reb Volvo Soloveitchik has an essay in the back of his Sefer that even though Goyim are obligated in Sheva Mitzvah, well, any of you might share when we did Avodah Zarah, Mike? Like ancient history, it's like 3 years ago. It's like four generations in YU time. But Reb Pavel Soloveitchik has an essay where he argues, where he tries to show that even though Goyim are obligated in Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach anyway, but a Ger Toshav makes a specific Kabbalah in these mitzvahs. A Ger Toshav has to appear in front of Beis Din and say, I hereby declare that I am obligated and I will maintain these Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. That is the standard explanation, and that fits into ideas that we have elsewhere in Judaism, that something that happens anyway, you declare that it happens, and somehow that enhances the Kedusha. The best example of this is the fact that I make Kiddush, you make Kiddush, we make Kiddush on Friday night. Shabbos is holy anyway, no? So why the heck are you making Kiddush? The answer is that the Torah wants us to affirm something that happened, right? Similarly, a Ger Toshav, Reb Vovel explains, is affirming something that's already mechuyav. So that is the standard explanation. What about Rashi? Does Rashi over here agree with that or not? Does Rashi agree with Abigail's explanation or not? It's like you could tell that the answer is not, but I'm asking for which Rashi? Again? The Chayimach. Okay, which words in the Rashi?
That one's the word in Rashi.
So it's actually, it's a different, again, I have an old-fashioned Gemara without bolded Dibur HaMaskos. It's the Rashi Lahakdim. Rashi defines what a Ger Toshav is, and that Rashi Lahakdim. No? Right. Rashi is saying that a Ger Toshav is someone who accepted on himself or herself not to serve Avodah Zarah, but still eats treif. Rashi writes that the din of Ger Toshav is simply about not worshiping idols. If you are interested and you have a lot of time on your hands, Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman, who is the president of Yeshiva University, wrote his dissertation on Ger Toshav, going through all of the Shitas HaRishonim about the status of Ger Toshav. Just as a matter of hashkafa, by the way, if we talk about Judaism's attitude towards non-Jews, it's often a mistaken conversation, because the assumed non-Jew is someone who's an Oyved Avodah Zarah. So when we talk about Judaism's attitude towards Oyved Avodah Zarah, our attitude is obviously very negative, with the assumption that if someone is a pagan, they're not guarded by any morals, etc., etc. The correct way, and this is something Rabbi Dr. President, blessed be he, Berman, writes, is that the official title? His Eminence, His Holiness. I don't know exactly what we're supposed to call the president of Yeshiva University, other than Mr. Rabbi Dr. President. But the correct way of analyzing Judaism's attitude towards non-Jews is to look at Judaism's attitude towards the non-Jew who's doing things right, called the Ger Toshav. And the fact that our Gemara goes out of its way to say that a Ger Toshav has mitzvah l'hachayoso, right? That means that we are obligated to do all that we can to assist this person, to help this person out. That's what mitzvah l'hachayoso means. And that's why there's an opinion in the Gemara that, well, not an opinion. It's like everyone agrees. Everyone agrees that if I have a choice between giving something for free to a Ger Toshav or selling it to a goy, that means, right, this is the least Jewish svara you're ever going to hear. You have a choice, earning a few bucks or giving it a gift to someone else. Right? The halacha is, you're mechuyev to give it for free to a Ger Toshav ahead of selling it to a goy. Isn't that striking? It mamish sounds not Jewish. It's like eating...
It's like
What?
It's like stucco. No, I know.
So it's like stucco. That's the idea.
Right.
In other words, we treat a ger toshav like a member of the tribe, like a member of the team. And I'm mechayev to give something, just like in inyan tzedakah, I think it's understandable that if I have a choice between giving my brother a gift or selling an item to someone else, it's understandable that I'm more likely, or I should, give the gift to my brother, right? Ger toshav bizer anpin, to a limited extent, falls into that category, and there is a chiyuv of nesina leger before mechira la'akum. That's like a wild idea. And again, I think this does and should change our perspective about Judaism's attitudes towards non-Jews. Nachon? Okay, good. That's actually an important point, but it's kind of kilachar yad in the sugya. But let's go back.
But doesn't it, I think it's your question is, that seems obvious. Like, obviously, people who don't do a bodhis hour are better than people who do a bodhis hour.
Correct, but is it obvious that I'm supposed to lose money for this?
But right? It's like you have money that is going towards something else. So isn't it obvious that it's supposed to go towards stucco as opposed to going towards...
So I own this book. I own, right? If I give it to someone, I get nothing. Right? It's not so obvious that a matana, even to anyone, should go ahead of selling. Right? It's mine. Why should I not continue to benefit from it? Why should I not get a few dollars? Again, it's a very not Jewish sphere, I think. Right? We usually think, my thing, I should earn money from it. Right? Any of you in Sci Sims? No, isn't that like the basic gesod of the entire school? That you're supposed to earn a few? I'm not making this up. Again, if this recording gets out, I'm like in a lot of trouble, no? But the good thing is, to some extent, Rosh Yeshiva are tenured. There was one Rosh Yeshiva ever who was fired. So if you want, you could look in the introduction to his sefer. It's called Shari Tohar. You could read the introduction. You'll have a ton of fun. It might be worth an article in like a newspaper, but I'm not saying anything. But the point is, what?
And it's not recorded, so it's okay.
Oh, whatever. yeah. The point is, I think there's a real yesod over here in terms of our attitude towards non-Jews. And by the way, if you take it a step further, you know, Maran HaRav Kook has a shita that is very mechudash, but Rav Kook, there may or may not be a line in Ramban who says that we have the concept of ger toshav bizman hazeh. The Pashtus in the Gemara says no such thing as ger toshav bizman hazeh.
Why not?
Because the Gemara says that ger toshav no heig ol bizman shayovo no heig. The Gemara has that line in Erechin. There's a Ramban who tries to distinguish between different types of ger toshav. A lot of the more liberal halachic writing, quote unquote, again, I mean liberal halachic in the true halachic tradition, tries to expand the category of ger toshav bizman hazeh. Rav Kook does this in terms of his discussion of the heter mechira. Right? You're not supposed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael. This is going to be the same sugi. You should look at the parallel sugi in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf, but you're not supposed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to goyim. Rav Kook in his Shuvas about this entertains the idea that Goyim are considered Ger Toshav, that Muslims who are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, who are moral people, etc., have the status of Ger Toshav, even though when you think about it, they're not going in front of a Beis Din, there's no Kabbalah, there's no Yovel today, there's like a lot of hurdles to overcome, but Rav Kook entertains the idea. Rav Nochem Rabinowitz, Zecharonu Livracha, in his Shuvas Melum Dei Mochama, discusses being Mechal al Shabbos, Bizman Hazeh for non-Jews, which became like a cause celeb when Noah Feldman wrote an article in the New York Times Magazine. You could Google this, whatever. So Noah Feldman is a professor in Harvard Law School now. So he wrote an article about how his education in the Maimonides school was like really bad because they spoke about how if there's a non-Jew who's dying, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the non-Jew. And he like, it became a very big deal in modern Orthodox circles like in the mid 90s. Okay, whatever it is, this is a large discussion, Bizman Hazeh, what do you do, etc. Right? This is one of those cases where everybody knows what we do, which is that doctors are Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews. Hatzalah is Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews also. The question is, how do we get there? Right? How do I connect the dots in the halakhic way? You know, the issue with Noah Feldman's article at that point was that, you know, he was confusing reality with theory. Right? In theory, there are dinim that we wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. But those dinim apply to someone who is Akum. If you broaden the category of Ger Toshev, like Rav Nachum Rabinowitz does in that tshuva, so, right, like what Rav Kook is doing, so then what we're saying is the goyim that we have today are in this other category, the category that does not face discrimination in halacha, this basically.
What do you do about Catholics?
By Catholics. Yeah, that's hard. Again, so you have to, Catholics, according to the vast majority of Rishonim, Catholicism is Avodah Zarah. People do try to pull out the Meiri, who writes in a number of places. I have a bunch of shiurim online about the status of Christianity and halacha, and this is like one of my topics. To what extent do we follow that Meiri, who writes, the Meiri is fascinating. The Meiri in Hor Yistaf Yud Aleph writes that if a Jew becomes a Meshumad to Christianity, which meant Catholicism, so the Jew is not considered a Mummer. He writes that since the Christians are Umos Gedurim B'Darkei Hadassos, that's his expression, like nations that are restrained by laws, so therefore, even if a Jew does Shmad to Christianity, it's not really Shmad. That's a fascinating idea. The Meiri felt that Christianity somehow counts as monotheism, and anything that we're saying about Muslims would be true about Christians also. That's the sheet of the Meiri. Rav Herzog has a few volumes called Hatichukah LeYisrael Pi Dinei HaTorah. He tried to write a constitution. Ad Hayom Hazeh, Israel does not have a constitution. Rav Herzog, Zecharenu Levracha, tried to write a constitution for the state of Israel, Al Pi Dinei Torah, and one of the large issues that came up is the treatment of non-Jews. So he made a very big deal of relying on this Meiri for Inyan Eitz Tzibur to say that Catholics, Christians, etc., are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And if I go five steps, again, it's really hard to make all of these jumps. But sometimes for Tzorach Gadol, like, the alternative would be that Al Pi Halacha, technically, Medinat Yisrael is obligated to burn down every single church in the country. I mean, that would not be, right? That's like a non-tenable situation. So Rav Herzog, based on like this Meiri, and you can throw in the Ger Toshev, etc., he comes up with why we don't do that, which I think is accepted by everybody. But again, the question is how you make that connection. Okay. So basically, the yisod that we are developing is that everyone agrees that Nesina Leger is Kodem to Mechira LeNachri, although Taisus and Avodah Zarah writes that if you have a really big deal in the sense of earning a lot of money, so then you are allowed to sell it to a goy rather than giving it to the Ger Toshev. But that also fits in with the construct that we're developing, which is that the construct that we're developing, that we treat a Ger Toshev almost like they are full members of the team. Almost. There might be a few halachas not like that, obviously. Right? Bishol Ger Toshev is still usher. There's still an issue of intermarriage with the Ger Toshev. But for many, many halachos, we are treating a Ger Toshev like part of the team. Okay, So let's go back. Rabbi Avahu says that whenever the Torah uses the words lo tocha, lo tochlu, etc., that means Isser Achila and Isser Hanoha. Chizkiyah says only when it says lo ye achel. Now, the question is, and Abigail and Sarah both phrased it this way in their paraphrasing of the Gemara, does Rabbi Avahu mean that achila really means hana'a? Or do I assume that achila and hana'a are different takes on the same word?
Wait, what's the difference again? What's the difference between those two things?
So one possibility is that when the Torah says achila, the Torah really means hana'a, and Isser Achila and Isser Hana'a is one and the same. The reason I can't eat something is because gustatory pleasure is a form of pleasure. The Torah asks pleasure. Achila is the Torah's way of saying don't get any pleasure, because I guess achila is the most prevalent pleasure or something like that. That's one approach. The other approach is that the Torah says achila, and achila means achila. But by using that word achila, the Torah is also saying hana'a. We are saying that there's an independent isser of achila. It's not that every achila is only usser because it is hana'a. There's an isser achila, but that isser achila conveys an isser hana'a, which is a separate idea. Can I say, again, I don't know, am I clarifying things, Atira? Is there an independent isser achila? Or do I assume that there's no such thing as achila? Achila is just a razzle-dazzle way of saying hana'a. That is a really important question that we're going to have to address. In order to get there, we have to talk about malchus. Is there malchus on Isurei Hana'a? Is there kares on Isurei Hana'a? Now again, kares would not apply by all Isurei Hana'a, but at least by chametz, which is our major topic of conversation. Is there kares if you get Hana'a from chametz? If I take my chametz and I use it as fuel in my oven and I bake whatever it is that I bake, am I chayiv kares for getting hana'a from the chametz? So what can you tell me about this one? What does Tosfos say? Tosfos says you're not. Nachon. Tosfos says that you are not chayiv kares if you get hana'a from the chametz. Why not?
It's in the positive, not in the negative.
Nachon.
So like, jump that.
In other words, according to Tosfos, since the Isser Kares is that the Torah writes ki kol ochel machmetzet v'nichrata, it doesn't say hana'a, it says achila. The only time that it says achila and that means hana'a is when the Torah phrases it as a lav. But when the Torah phrases it as an asay, so hana'a is not included. Ki ko ochel machmetzet, the Torah is saying it as an asay, and ki ko ochel over there means ochel. It is only in the context of a lav that ochel means hana'a. Right? That's the yesod of Tosfos. Basically, Tosfos is making a linguistic point, a point of... I don't get the impression that Tosfos is saying like such a fundamental idea. It's just that ki kol ochel is an asay as opposed to a lav, end of conversation. Abigail, how are you?
Maybe I'm just being a diet from something that you just said, but it sounded like, I don't remember the exact word you used, but there was some equation that Aquila equaled Hana. Was that purposeful?
Maybe, yeah, it was. But
so then he is making, so then
so,
more than just.
Yeah, yes, but I want to illustrate this after we talk about the Pidushei HaRachamim, and then we'll go back to Tosfos. Yes. What is the Pidush? But no. What does the Pidushei HaRachamim say? Did any of you take a look at the Pidushei HaRachamim?
I think he said that Lo Tochal teaches an Isra Hafila but not an Isra Hana'a. And you only learn the Isra Hana'a basically like by the fact that there's no distinction.
Almost. Almost. The Ran uses an expression that Reb Avohu Dina Hudi Yalef Minavela Velo Mimash Mu'usa Delishna. That's the key words in the Ran. Meaning, Rabbi Avohu is not saying that the word Achila means Hana. It's just that there are extra words in the Torah. The word, the Torah by Nevela says that Hana'a is permitted. That implies that everywhere else, Achila carries with it a din of Hana'a, but it's not that the word Achila means Hana'a. Atira, you might have been saying this, but the point that the Ran is getting at is that it is not Mimash Me'usa, it's Miyitura. Right? Those are the words he says. The word Achila does not mean Hana'a. Achila means Achila. Comes along whoever the Jew was. He probably had a beard. I'm sure it was a male. He probably had a beard. These are assumptions. Who wrote the footnotes on the Ran. And the footnotes on the Ran points out that there is a huge machlokus here between Tosfos and the Ran. Tosfos would say, do you get Malkus for Hana'a, or you don't get Malkus? What would Tosfos say? What would the Ran say? Let's plug this in.
No, Tosfos is saying.
What?
Yeah, you got this.
No, I didn't
hear it. I said that Tosfos would say that you would not get Malkus.
That's what you said, he would not get Malkus. Okay? Does anyone want to disagree? And should I back up?
I think I'll get it.
Okay, so let's try it like this. Tosfos says that the reason why there is no kares is because the Torah does not say it as a lav. Right? The Torah says lo tochal, lo tochlu, but ki kol ochel is not a lav. Right? That's what Tosfos says. And that's meant by a linguistic distinction, positive versus negative. But when the Torah phrases it in the negative, don't eat, that would mean don't get Hana'a either. And presumably, if the Torah says lo tochal, and that means lo teheneh, that would mean that you get Malkus if you have Hana'a. Right? According to Tosfos, there's an exception on technical grounds that I don't get kares. On technical grounds, I don't get kares because it's not phrased as a lav. But in an instance where it would be phrased as a lav, that lav would mean hana'a also. So when the Torah says the word achila, Tosfos would say achila equals hana'a. And I get Malkus if I have Hana'a from Chametz. Nathan? Is that a correct reading? So now, what does the Ran say? The Ram says it's not mi mashma usa, it's mi yitura, meaning the mashma'os, the meaning of the word achila is not hana'a, zok the Ram. Achila does not mean hana'a. So when the Torah says lo tochal, do I get malchus or not? According to Tosfos, the answer is yes, I do get malchus. But according to the Ran, the word achila does not mean hana'a. Achila means achila. So if I get hana'a from chametz, do I get lashes? No. There's a fundamental machlokes between Tosfos and the Ran, whether I get malchus on hana'a. And going back to the way we set up the chakira, it really connects to this idea. Do I assume that the Torah is forbidding hana'a explicitly or not? If you get malchus, the Torah is saying, don't eat. Don't eat is a way of saying don't get hana'a. Therefore, if you get hana'a, it's the same as if you eat malchus. However, if I understand there's like two maslulim, there's two tracks. So I could say, you know what? Achila, there's malchus. Hana'a is a different track and there's no malchus. Again, there might be other ways to dissect this, but I think this is stage one. Nama.
Saying that either way, there's an isser of hana'a. It's just a question of whether it's independent of achila or not.
There is an isser hana'a. Everyone agrees it's an isser hana'a on chametz.
Right.
But so, is that isser hana'a kind of? Is that isser hana'a the type of? Is that Isser Hana'a the same as the Isser Achila, or is the Isser Hana'a a different track than Isser Achila?
Okay. So only if it's attached.
If it's attached, then presumably whatever is true by Achila is true by Hana'a. Ms. Rathlin.
I'm embarrassed that this is my question, but when would you get Kari
or the Malchus? Okay, so let's go. So Malchus means that I'm about to eat chametz, or I'm about to get hana'a from chametz, and I have witnesses who come and they say, Schwartz, don't do that. If you do that, you will get lashes. And I say, afal pikein ani osa. Then I get malchus. Kares is bidei shamayim. Kares is that if I do it, so, right, I'm chayiv kares, which means, according to Tosfos on the first daf of Yevamos, that I'll die before the age of 60. Right? It's mamash like a chakira in today's news, no? Let's say you eat chametz the day before, right? Can you impeach someone after he's not in office? Right? It's the same chakira. If kares is only before age 60, right?
Can you get kares after the age of 60?
Correct. it's mamish and yada diyoma. Everything is connected.
Okay, and my other question is, do we have any other case where there's an iser, maybe Dorinda, I'm not sure, that doesn't have punishment? Like, hana'a is
this,
there's an
issue
of hana'a and there's zero punishment.
So there are lots of isurim that you don't get punished for. You have a lot of she'im b'maisa. You have a lot of hanitak la'asei. Right? We have many types of laven that you don't get an onesh for. You don't get malchus for, etc.
Right, but this doesn't fit in either of those categories.
Well, chametz, what we spoke about a while ago, it might be a lav. Let's assume it's not lav hanita klase, right?
Right.
So do you get it's a lav?
Even if it was, that's isra. Like, why are we treating the isra of hana'a different than the isra of akila?
So that's something I want to talk about over the next couple of minutes. Right? Why is it that according to one mainstream sheet in Rishonim, which we are now saying is the Ran, that there is no Malchus on Hana'ah, but there is Malchus on Achila? Why would that be true? So first of all, just to point out which other Rishonim, which other major Rishon agrees that there is no Malchus on Hana'ah by Chametz. Which other major Rishon agrees with that idea?
Rambam.
I didn't hear?
The Rambam.
The Rambam. Maimonides. Right? The Rambam writes in Perkhas of Pokos Macholos Asiros, Halakha Tezvav and Tezayin. The Rambam writes that pages turn much slower. Right? Okay. The Rambam writes Azoi. When the Torah says lo tochal, lo tochlu, lo yochlu, lo yochal, echam isra afilo, echam isra hanov mashma, that means that the Rambam is paskening like who? Chizkiya Rabbi Avohu?
Rabbi Avohu,
the famous in the Rambam. Right? Echad isra afi, echam isra hanov mashma, ash yifu lecha kosov, like it says by Neveo. It's exactly Rabbi Avohu. Or actually his parish b'Torah Sheba Alpeh, that's going to be the Hemshech of our sugya. There's going to be cases where Torah Sheba Al Peh says that that Hana'ah is mutter. Kol ma'achol shu aser b'Hana'ah, zok the Rambam. Im nehenev v'lo ochal, kigon shemachar o nosan la'akum, o leklovim. If I get Hana'ah, for example, I sell it or I give it to a guy. Giving it to a guy is also Hana'ah, in that the guy now owes me a favor, and favors can be monetized. Right? So if I give it to a guy, or I sell it to a guy, or I give it to a dog, I give it to a dog also, I am getting some Hana'ah. If it's my own dog, I get Hana'ah, I save myself a meal. It's like this idea of Mishtar Shalei that we saw in the Maram Chalva. So Zek the Rav, Eino Loke, Umakinos Omakus Maritus. The Ran says you don't get Malchus, instead you get Makus Maritus, which is something that we give when you violate a derabanan, or something we give when you violate an isur de oraisa, but it's an isur de oraisa that me'ezah sibashahi, you can't get malchus. What malchus maridus is exactly is not 1,000,000% clear. Tosus in Nozir discusses that could be that malchus maridus is not 39 lashes. It could be malchus maridus is going to be 13 lashes. It's possible that Makus Maridus is not with a whip, it's with a stick. It's not exactly clear what Makus Maridus is, but we know that it's given when we don't give regular Malchus. So the Rambam writes that there is no Malchus on Hana'ah. But why not? Why is there no Malchus on Hana'ah for the Rambam? So what could we say based on what we learned already? How would the Chidushe Haran tell me that there is no Malchus on Hana'ah?
It's not the same thing as
Aphila. Nahon, but more.
Just like an extension of Aphila.
It's an extension of Aphila, correct. A little bit more. It's not mashmu'usa dekra'at mi yitura, meaning it is Torah Sheba'al Peh, not Torah Shebiksev. Malchus only comes on something that is beferish in Torah Shebiksev. There is no such thing as Malchus on Torah Sheba'al Peh. Right? The Alter Rebbe explains in Likutei Torah that Torah Shebiksev is always very chomer, Torah Shebaal Peh is always very nice. So Torah Shebiksev says ayin tachas ayin, it sounds like it's ayin tachas ayin mamish. Torah Shebaal Peh comes and tells me, no, we're nice, rabbis are nice. You hear that? Torah Shebaal Peh tells me that it means mamon. It doesn't mean ayin tachas ayin mamish. Torah Shebaal Peh one of the classic examples is Halacha Moshe Misinai. Halacha Moshe Misinai is always Lahakel. Like there's a discussion in Maseches Sukkah. How many walls you need for a sukkah? 3 and a mashahu or 2 and a mashahu? The Gemara concludes that's 2 and a mashahu because it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. The Rush explains what that means is that halacha l'moshe misinai is always l'hakel. Right? So it has to be 2. But basically the idea is that Torah Shebiksav, there is malchus. Torah Shebaalpeh, there's no malchus. That's why something that I learned from a Kal Vachomer, there's no malchus by definition. Because it's Torah Shebaalpeh, Torah Shebaalpeh can't have malchus. So the pashtus in the do we have a few more minutes to go on? Oh, okay, fine. The pashtus in the Rambam is the reason why there is no malchus over here, is because it is Torah Shebaalpeh. It is not the famish in the pasuk. It's not Torah Shebiksav. This same idea, in slightly different words, is expressed by the Mishnah Lamelech in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. Did any of you find this Mishnah Lamelech?
Yeah, we had it on the
dog. Yeah. Oh, okay. So what does the Mishnah Lamelech say? So you found the Magen Mishnah. The Mishnah Lamelech is... I'm going to talk about the Magen Mishnah in 1 minute, but the Mishnah Lamelech... writes, this Mishnah Lamelech is mamish as long as the Golos. It goes on and on and on. It's really, it's literally, it's probably like 5 pages of like small print. But in the middle of that Mishnah Lamelech, he has a line where he says that there's no Malchus because it's not Torah Shebiksav. That's his Lashon. It's in Perikei of Yisodei HaTorah Halacha Ches. The Mishnah Lamelech Vida the achar shekhasavnu diladas rabbeinu. If you get hanoa, you don't get malchus. And the reason can be either like the Magen Mishnah said, or mishum de hanoa lo ksiva behedya. The second reason he gives is the first reason we developed, hanoa lo ksiva behedya. It's not beferish in the pasuk. It's Torah Shebaalpeh, and malchus is only on Torah Shebiksav. That's the Mishnah Lamelech's approach. But what does the Magen Mishnah say? By the way, who was the Magen Mishnah? When and where did he live? The Magen Mishnah. No, different people. The Kesef Mishnah is Rabbi Yosef Kairo. The Magen Mishnah is named Rabbi Vidal something or another. Vidal is Spanish for Chaim. This is one of the rayas that some of the poskim... there's a whole discussion. There's like this phantom medrash that says that one of the reasons why Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim is Loshinu es Shmam es Loshonam, etc. That we didn't change our names. So there's a whole discussion about whether you're allowed to have a non-Jewish name. It's a huge discussion in the poskim. Some say that, of course, it's mutter. The Magen Mishnah was named Rabbi Vidal, whatever it is, that's not a Jewish name. We've had hundreds and hundreds of Chachmei HaMasorah who didn't have Jewish names, no? There's one of the Balei HaTosas, Rabbeinu Peter.
No way.
But they didn't name themselves?
Yeah, there's a Balei HaTosas, Rabbeinu Peter. Pei Tes Reish.
But they didn't name themselves, their parents.
Okay, but hey, you know what? Chazal say, everyone has a few names. Is the name your parents give you or the name that you earn on your own? So change it. It's not that hard.
Peter is like super Christian.
Peter is super Christian, right? It's like one of the apostles or something, right? Yeah, it's like really bad. But okay. I don't know. But listen, how many of us know women who are named Mary? Mary is a super Christian name, no?
I don't know.
You don't know anyone named Mary?
Yeah.
I know a bunch of 90-year-old women named Mary.
Exactly.
Right? If you hang around in Florida.
In 20 years, there'll be a lot more Marys.
Maybe. I don't know. But the point is The Mishnah Lamelech has an idea which I think is pretty much the same as the Ran, that there's no Malkus on Isser Hana'ah because it's not Befesh in the Pasuk. The Magen Mishnah, who has a non-Jewish first name, the Magen Mishnah has a different reason why there is no Malkus on Isser Hana'ah. What does the Magen Mishnah say, Chefra? This is like a collector's item. This is an awesome Magen Mishnah. The Magen Mishnah writes, who wants to, does someone want to read it? Should I read it? The Magen Mishnah writes, the Magen Mishnah writes, here. Va'afilu sicha shikrova l'shtiya amru b'gemara gaber ravina shayasech v'prisha orla kula shembo sakona v'lav derapana aso. Okay, that's the first point. Ulefize hare iser hana'a kidin chatzi shi'or she'asar min hatora v'ein lokin alav. Those are fighting words. Right? The iser hana'a is like chatzi shi'or, which is Aser min HaTorah, but you don't get Malkus, right? Okay, let's go back. The beginning of the eighth parak of Yuma. It says that Yom HaKippur, you're not allowed to eat anything. We pass in even Chatzis Shi'or, you can't eat on Yom Kippur. We pass in as an Isser D'oraisa to have a morsel of food on Yom Kippur. The full Isser is a Koseves Hagasa, like a fat fig, but if you have any morsel, that is Aser min HaTorah, it's an Isser D'oraisa. Chatzis Shi'or is Aser min HaTorah. The Gemara has two possibilities why that's true. Either it's because the pasuk says kol chelev shar v'chesed v'ezrol tol chelu. Kol chelev means any amount of chelev. Alternatively, the Gemara says the chatzis shi'or is aser min HaTorah because it's chazi l'tzerufei, because you can combine. If I eat a morsel plus a morsel plus a morsel, eventually I'll get to a kezayis. Eventually I'll get to a koseves hagasa. Right, so this first explanation of the Gemara is that it's a pasuk of kol chelav. Second explanation is based on chazi l'tzerufei. Hold that, push it aside for a minute. Let's go back to the Magen Mishnah. The Magen Mishnah writes that there is no malchus on hana'ah because it is like chatzi shi'or. So first of all, just try to say that line in English. What does that mean?
You're only doing half an
Isser. I'm doing half an Isser. What do you mean? Why?
You didn't do enough to get a big punishment.
Meaning?
So you can never do enough.
Getting Hana'ah, the full-fledged Isser is like super-duper Hana'ah. Eating is super-duper Geshmaka Hana'ah. Smelling chametz, cooking something with chametz, fuel. What are other examples of hana'ah? Rubbing the chametz on your body because you want to use it as an oil or something. That is not super duper hana'ah. That's chatzi shi'or of hana'ah. Right? That's what Magen Mishnah is saying. It's a chatzi shi'or. That's a wild idea.
Wait, why? That kind of makes sense. No?
Okay. I mean, I'll let you explain.
Because you're not eating, like, right, I guess that's not a
thing. Okay. Eating is the real McCoy, says the Magen Mishnah. Hana'ah is halfway to eating.
Even if you made millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I'm saying, if you sell your honey, for
a million, it's still not as geschmack as eating one little cracker.
But where does that even come? Like, why does he? What's the connection there?
What's the connection? Right? It's hard. I think, again, I'm going to let the two of you fight this out, whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense. But I am inclined to the what's the connection idea. How could Hana'ah be a chatzi shi'or of achila? Especially if you hold that the din of chatzi shi'or is based on what the Gemara in Yuma says, chazi l'itzterufei, which means a morsel plus a morsel plus a morsel. That makes sense if it's quantitative. Over here, there is a qualitative difference between achila and hana. It's two totally different maisim. No? The Magen Mishnah's Yesod that Isser Hana'a is a chatzi shir of the Isser Achila is what many of the poskim talk about. They call it chatzi shir be'echos. It's a qualitative chatzi shir, not a quantitative chatzi shir.
That makes sense.
It makes sense?
Yeah.
I agree, it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense in the world of Chazilut's Deruvin. If you hold the chatzi shir, it's also because it might lead to the real thing. Right? So
it can just be a metaphor, like
he's trying either.
It's some sort of metaphor, but I think he really means it. He says there's no malchus, but it's also not Torah because it's like chatzi shir. That's what Magen Mishnah says.
But either way, you're using physical chametz.
I'm using physical chametz.
Like, you're rubbing things on your body, so the thing is chametz.
Right. And I'm not supposed to do it. But Zot the Magen Mishnah, the full-fledged Isser is to eat it. If I eat it, I get Malchus. If I don't eat it, it is like Chatzi Shir of eating it. If I get benefit, it's not as Gishmak as eating, but it's halfway there. That's a wild idea. That's called a Chatzi Shir in Echos.
But is he giving a reason, or is he just saying... This case where we have an Issa Doraisa, but it's not, we don't get Maka for it, it's like the case of Chatzi Shir, not.
Right, so.
Not
it,
like
he,
they're equal.
So he, it's not exactly equal, right? I think Atira used the term a minute ago, it's like a metaphor.
Right.
Right? It's. But.
It's like, you're having trouble visualizing what I'm saying? Like, think of Chatzi Shir, that's what I'm talking about.
But the fact that he uses Chatzi Shir as a metaphor still is saying something about Chatzi Shir. And it's saying that Chatzi Shir by Echos is a possibility. I have been in the back of the Encyclopedia Talmudit, in the entry called Chatzi Shir, he had the last section of it, he tries to give a few examples of Chatzi Shir by Echos, of qualitative Chatzi Shir. The best example of this is a Ramban. You know, the Rambam assumes that when the Torah says, the Rambam in Mitzvah Lo Tasei Shin Nun Gimel, when the Torah says, Lo Sikrivu Megalos Erva, the Rambam holds that there's an Issur D'oraisa of Chibuk V'Nishuk, right? That's what the Rambam says. And the Ramban jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels, and he says, no, it can't be that Lo Sikrivu means a Chibuk V'Nishuk is really the D'oraisa. It doesn't make sense because the Gemara says that Lo Sikrivu means only Bia, etc. And then the Ramban has one line tucked away in the middle of that, where he says, and if it's an Issur D'oraisa, it's an Issur D'oraisa like Chatzi Shir. Which is also a wild idea, no? Bia is the full-fledged din of Lo Sikrivu. Chibuk Anishuk is halfway, a quarter way, a tiny bit, right? That's what that Ramban is saying. It's a chatzi shir. That's not a chatzi shir in kamas. It's not a quantitative chatzi shir. It's a chatzi shir in echos. It's a qualitative idea. It says basically a similar idea to over here, that the Torah is forbidding a certain type of pleasure, and lesser levels of pleasure are also forbidden min ha-Torah. The Torah forbids a certain type of pleasure called achila. Lesser levels of pleasure, isur hana, are also forbidden. The same idea seems to be what that Ramban is saying over there. Hello, Nama.
Hello. What's the difference between... Oh, I guess, okay. Thank you, dude. I'm sorry. Why don't you just put it in a separate category? Like, why don't you make it a lesser... It's just a different thing that you're doing.
So I would have said that. Right? I would say that might make a lot of sense. And the way we began the shir by saying, well, maybe there's no malchus on hana because hana is totally different, right? That's one possibility. But surprisingly, not, the two positions that we saw as to why there's no malchus in hana did not say what we began our presentation with.
Right.
right? The possibility that it's not Beferish Pasuk, it's not Mefurish Bikra, and the possibility that it's Chatzi Shear are both different than Armless Kal Rishon, which is interesting. When these things happen, you have to question why your Muskal Rishon is wrong.
Right. Like, why are we trying to fit it into the first thing? Maybe it's just, like, why are we trying to compare it quantitatively to this?
Quantitatively?
Meaning, why are we trying to compare?
Why are we putting it in a box? Why can't we just say this is a
open? So I would love to say that. But my problem is that the sources who address why there is no Malkus don't say that. Right? In other words, I have two objectives. One is, right, to analyze mi svara, what it should be. And then I look at the Makoros.
Right.
And none of the Makoros say that. Halal davaru. Okay, so look.
Maybe not, they don't say it, because then you don't have to explain it. It's that they're... It's its own thing.
We
don't try to compare
it. But they don't say that. They speak about it's not Beferish B'Pasuk. It is like a Chatzi Shear. Again, maybe that's what they mean if you assume that the Magen Mishnah's Chatzi Shear is like a metaphor of sorts. But it still is a very funny way of saying it. Right? It's just a very funny way of saying it. This idea... Okay, so let's just... review what we have. Whether there's Malkus on the Hanor or not seems to be Machlekes between Tosfos and the Ram. The Rambam assumes there's no Hanor Malkus. We have two explanations why, according to the Rambam, there's no Hanor Malkus. We have this explanation of the Mishnah Lamelech, which I think is what the Ram says also. That's not Mefurash Bikra. And I also have this explanation of the Magen Mishnah about Chatzi Shear, which leads us to a conversation about the nature of Chatzi Shear in general. It happens that there is another Rishon who says that there is Malkus on Isurei Hana'ah. In the back of the Gemara, by the Rif, on Daf Heyom Beis B'Dapei HaRif, you have the Riaz on like the Shulti Gemara on the side of the page. Quotes on the Riaz says that there is Malkus on Isurei Hana'ah. Of course, if there is Malkus on Isurei Hana'ah, we have a further question. How do you quantify how much you need to benefit in order to get Malkus? Do I use a monetary way of quantifying it and say, Hana'ah, that's worth, let's say, a Shavak Pruta gives me Malkus? Or do I assume that if I get Hana'ah from a Kazayus, I get Malkus? Or do I assume that any amount of Hana'ah gets me Malkus? Right? Once I'm in, if I hold that there's no Malkus, so any amount is Usher, any Hana'ah is Usher. But once I'm saying Malkus, I have to try to get beneath the hood and figure out how much Hana'ah you need to get Malkus. That's a big discussion in the Achronim. Reb Kiva Eger writes in the Tshuva, it's a Shavat Pruta. By Basar B'Cholav, where there's also an Isser Hana'ah. The Isser Hana'ah is a Kazayas. And Reb David of Karlin felt that the Isser Hana'ah is a Koshahu. So again, that question also relates Bigadol to everything that we've been discussing, but I think now it's a little bit too late to try to develop this fully. Ms. Zaychek, how are you?
Good. So let's say Hana'ah isn't the equivalent. Like, how can you put a measurement to it if it's like, even non-monetarily, like if you're feeding it to someone, that means the measurement is equivalent to how much you're giving that person? Or can't it be how much happiness that person is getting, or how?
So again, it could be how much food that person is getting. That would be like a Kazayas measurement. It could be the Hana'ah is how much money a meal would cost, so to speak, right? Or how much, what's the market value of this Hana'ah, right? Everything has a market. Even Chametz Haner of Pesach, I find the guy to buy it. There's some market for it, right? You have to figure out what yardstick I'm using.
Like, if you're sustaining your animal with chametz, you're quantitating it based off of...
My savings is probably the cheapest meal I could have given my animal otherwise.
Okay.
Right? So what's the cheapest type of animal food out there? And that's my cost savings. That's how I monetize what the chametz is worth. And then I figure out, is it shava pruta or not? Right? Again, according to those opinions that there's malchus, which I think is Tosfos and is definitely that Riaz. Okay, ladies, any questions or comments?
Who is the
Riaz?
Who is the Riaz?
So the Riaz was like an Italian. It's not clear if he's like a Rishon or an Acharon, or he's like right at that borderline. Just trying to look who it is. And I maybe we'll give it as homework to look up who the Riaz is, or I have to look this up because I who the Riaz is. 1 second. Yeah, I have to. The Riaz and the Shilti Gemara, I just have to look it up who it is. Okay. Any other questions and comments, ladies? Excellent. So because it's Tuesday night, we wish you a good Shabbos. Now, next week, Monday, is President's Day. I think officially there is school on President's Day, although I might be inclined to give share on Wednesday rather than Monday. I reserve the right to say share twice a week, but not necessarily on Mondays and Tuesdays every year. So I might do that next week just because it's President's Day. Okay, Chevra? And obviously, let's turn it off. Yeah.